Alrighty. Yo, 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 what's good? It's Bear in the building. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Today's special guest is an activist, teacher, organizer, and certified GLSEN PD facilitator, amongst many other things. Please help me welcome Precious Smith.
Hey.
Thank you, Precious, for joining.
Anytime, man. My name is Precious. I'm 43. I'm originally from Navasota, Texas. If you've not heard of it, it's okay. Hour and a half north of Houston. Stop in. See La Salle. It's a statue. But I live in Wichita. I am Black all day, every day. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and goddess, if you will. So if you don't like she and her, you could take that goddess. And in the community, I identify as a lesbian parent.
All right, thank you. Navajo, Texas?
Navasota.
Navasota, Texas. Yes. Yep, definitely haven't heard of it.
Heard of Texas A&M?
Yeah,
is it there? It is 15 minutes away from Texas A&M.
Okay, yeah. Nice. So we should have heard about it then.
No. Mm-mm.
Where's Texas A&M at?
Texas A&M is in College Station, Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't know that either, so.
Now, wait, where is Prairie View A&M University?
No idea.
I'm so hurt. That is the best HBCU in the state of Texas.
Okay.
I said it. What? Followed by Clark Atlanta University, both of which I went to.
Where is it at?
Prairie View is in Prairie View, Texas.
Okay. Forgive me. I've been to Texas maybe a handful of times though. I've been in like this little bubble of Kansas. I've dabbled a little bit on vacation, but yeah.
You wouldn't vacation in Navasota.
Yeah.
I vacation in Navasota because my mom is there.
Yeah.
But other than that, you would not.
Yeah. I need to get out more though. Need to get out more for sure.
Yeah. But you're young.
Yeah.
You're young.
I got time.
You have time.
Well, God willing. You said lesbian parent.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Man, I'm a lesbian and I got kids. Okay. Not only I got kids. So I say lesbian parent because it's important that that's recognized.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lesbian and yes, I have children and my children are my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you meet me, if you're like, oh, you're lesbian, I'm a lesbian parent. And, you know, some people don't like kids.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to be around people who have kids. That's fine. I'm a teacher. I'm a parent. I'm a foster parent. So I've got kids on top of kids on top of kids.
Yeah. So when did your kids come about in your life? Like,
So I had a joyous time in college. I was dating this guy. That's where Amethyst came from. Love her to pieces. She's 22.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I have Garnet, who's 9.
Okay.
And my ex and I created Garnet. And, you know, lesbian divorce is a real thing. Just a heads up with custody battles and all. It is a very real thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how did you conceive with your past partner?
The old-fashioned way, you know. Yeah. Found a guy, talked to him, was like, hey, this is what we're gonna do.
Okay.
And hey, you know, and it's so funny because like in our community, the first thing that a Black man says is what? The first thing that this guy said was, you ain't trying to put me on child support.
Oh dang.
Come on now, sir.
You don't want anything to do with you.
No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing from you. Other than your DNA, good sir. Thank you so much. So, you know, that. And, like, she is the best gift. She is the best blessing.
Yeah.
She's a 5'3", 9-year-old.
What, did you just like know this person? Did you like, is there like a database that you went through or you just...
So I find that I feel like I'm pretty. right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty.
Yeah.
So because I'm pretty, I kind of, that kind of goes with certain privileges. And so guys always try to talk to me. It's funny. It's entertaining. And, you know, I let them know, hey, no, you're not my type of party. Same with this guy. But somehow or another, I got his phone number at the chicken wing spot. And the chicken wing spot. Timmy Chan's, for those of you who know it. Timmy Chan's. Shameless plug. I should get paid for that. Timmy Chan's is bomb in Houston. But, you know, got his number. It was just stuck in my phone. And then, you know, the idea of having a kid came about. And I pulled out my phone and called him. And that was that.
Okay. Yeah. That's one way to do it.
Adventure. Hey.
I've always, like, I don't know. I've thought about, like, having kids. Right now, I'm just, like, not in that spot. But curious as to what route I will take. Because, yeah. I mean... But that also makes sense as to why he asked you, are you trying to get child support? Right. Like the way it was, I'm like, yeah, you trying to get money out of me, right, or like, this all I got to do? Like, but so that's awesome. That is just one way to do it. And you said like you're dealing with the divorce. Now I've had someone previously on here and we were just talking about like the adoption process. So where... If that happens, like the other parent, they would adopt them. So it's like a two, they're on both the birth certificate, if that makes sense. Yeah. So
that's a antiquated thing. Like with LGBTQ2+ couples now having the same rights as hetero couples,
mm-hmm.
they really like two people can sign the birth certificate, whether mm-hmm. they're same sex or not. So you don't necessarily have to go through that process anymore.
Okay.
So much. But more or less, if you're in a relationship with a person who already has children, then you would go through that adoption process.
Right, right. So you just both signed the birth certificate then mm-hmm. in your case?
No, actually no, because then it wasn't legal.
Okay, but it is now.
Yeah, it is now.
Okay.
So according to the court.
Nice, yeah. Well, that makes that process... a lot easier than for the community to be able to do it that way, because not being on the birth certificate could, if in case, like you said, divorce happens, things happen. So having that custody battle with someone that, like, we aren't fighting over custody over dogs and dogs and cats. Like these are actual kids. So divorce gets messy with straight couples in general. So divorce just gets messy. So that is good that is that route. At what age did you come out though?
So, Navasota, Texas is very small.
Okay.
Very Christian.
Mm.
Very Bible beltish, if you will.
Okay.
So, honestly, I didn't have the opportunity to come out. I was kind of like outed, pushed out.
Okay.
You know? So, like, my mom told me, you know, she was like, I had heard. So, you know, but I was like 22.
Okay.
I was grown with a kid. So.
When you got approached or when you came out?
Like... When my mom told me, she was like, I had heard you was dating girls. I was 22 with a kid.
And how did that go with your mom? Like,
oh, man. No. No, mama wasn't having it.
Oh, yeah.
Mama was not having it. I didn't talk. My mom is my best friend. I mean, like, my homie. Like, if I have something hurting on my toe, I will call my mom. Hey, girl, my foot hurts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't talk to her for 6 months.
Hmm.
It was hard.
Yeah.
It's my bestie. But my grandmother, being the OG that she was not having it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took some time. I think it took about a good year for us to really get back all the way right.
Uh-huh.
And like now it's like nothing happened. She's mm-hmm. like, you're my baby and I love you. That ain't my business.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
With your grandma. So was your grandma, you said she was OG and so she didn't approve as well.
Oh, my grandmother approves of anything that her grandchildren do.
Okay.
Because we're awesome and amazing. And,
ain't that right? Ain't
and
that right?
Grandma. Okay.
Yeah.
And so my grandmother was the type that, you know, she had lived her full life. She lived her whole life. And so she told my mom, she was like, no, we're not going to do that to her. Yeah. She's going to do what she's going to do, and she's going to be good at it.
Yeah.
You let her do her. And you're going to love her, and you're my daughter, and that's that. And that was that.
That's cool. That's good. My grandma means a lot to me, too. So, like, her approval and what she thought meant to, honestly, more to me than anybody for did. Sure. I don't know what it is about them grandparents, man, but they just...
It's the collard greens, okay? That's what it is. It's the collard greens.
Hey, and I just feel like my grandma has looked out for me all my life. Like, right. Really, really has been there for me. So I can definitely relate to that. What do you think your grandma helped bring your mom around? But do you feel like there was other factors in it that your mom was just like, okay, like, what was that? Did you guys have a conversation or anything, like, to reconnect or?
No. Mm-mm. We don't do that. You know, we in our community, we don't, like, in our Black community, we don't apologize. We don't say, you know, I was wrong.
Yeah.
We just like, baby, do you want a plate? You know, do you want something to eat?
Yeah.
And that's okay. And
is it though?
No. But that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was like, all right, so going forward from this, we're going forward. Mm-mm. So, but like our parents, when was the last time your mama apologized to you when you were younger? When did your mama apologize to you?
Not when I was younger, but now I feel like she does. Like, If she knows and she's wrong, it takes her a minute to like, but I feel like she does like come back and apologize, and I'll do the same thing. Right. Now my grandma, if she does something wrong,
because grandmother does nothing wrong.
You're right. But she don't apologize either. Of course like, not. But so I get what you're saying, but. It isn't okay. Like,
no.
I think we do have a problem with that in absolutely. The community, is like having those conversations deeper about our feelings, right. The traumas that we've dealt with, right. and not just sweeping it under the rug and giving us a plate. Like, right. I think there's a lot of healing that can happen within everybody's family.
We talk, like, my girls and I talk all the time. We have like, if I feel like their vibe isn't right, you know, I'm gonna get them a plate. I'm gonna cook them some food, but then like we're gonna sit and we're gonna talk about it. We converse a lot. My 9-year-old is super expressive, and she will tell you, Mom, I am overwhelmed. I need a moment.
That's good.
I mean, it's just I didn't want that to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be that parent that you're afraid to talk to. No, yeah. I don't want to be that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm that mom. Come talk to me.
Yeah.
Be respectful. Be mannerable. Use yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But come talk to me. Tell me what's going on with you so I know.
Yeah. Breaking the generational curses.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely has to happen. And I feel like you doing that with your family, I feel like you're a big... Like idols a big word, right? But I just feel like you are seen within like this Wichita community as someone who is very proud of yourself wherever you go. Right. And I feel like your representation for like the Black community and the gay community is needed from like a lot more people. Right. I feel like a lot of people just like hide it. Like we just stick to ourselves and we're not openly out and proud about it. And I feel like you're the complete opposite. Like you are proud in every space that you are. And like, I respect that 100%. Like,
thank you.
Yes. And what got you to that point to be able to be that person?
Well, I turned 39 and I recall the day. It was my birthday. I turned 39 and somebody called me on that day, and they just rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, listen, I am just not for this conversation. You're not going to talk to me like that. And yeah, that's that. And I hung up the phone. And from that moment forward, I was like, I don't care about other people's opinions. That's not my business. You know, my business is how I feel about myself. And when I walk into a room, I walk into a room because I feel good about me.
Right.
And so I just, It was from that day. I have rainbow socks for all occasions. I have rainbow things all the time. And it's just like some child somewhere needs to see a Black lesbian woman who is about their business to realize that it's okay for them to be who they are.
Right.
And it's okay for them to just openly and honestly and unapologetically just live their best life.
Mm-hmm. And you're in like a lot of spaces to show that representation. You're a middle school coach. You're a special educator teacher. Like, You're in the streets a lot with dealing with different demographics. And so, like, what have you seen, or just like people have you had stories of where like people have like just like come up and like thanked you for like the representation that you have shown?
I have. Oh my gosh, this basketball season was amazing. The girls came in and they just really focused. They did their thing. They played well. They played together. And one of the parents sent me an email and was like, oh my gosh, my kid loves you. And we as parents appreciate what you're doing for our kids. And I'm just like, oh my God, that happened. Okay. Thank you. And I mean, it was like, wow. Because how often do parents tell teachers thank you?
Right.
Or coaches thank you?
Yeah.
Usually it's the reverse.
Exactly.
So it was just like, wow, okay. And like, I have I have kids that go to school who are LGBTQ2+, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have kids that wear like tails to school, and I have kids who wear furs. I have kids who are non-gender conforming. Mm-hmm. And they need to know that regardless to what that is for you, be you.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I show them I'm me all the time. And they value that. And I value them for letting me teach them. So
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I've been in the district of USD 259, a person of color who is also a part of the community. How has that affected you, like, navigating within this system? Do you feel like you've had resistance, or?
I'm going to be honest.
Please do.
This school district has been amazing. Like, there's so much diversity in 259. Like, you've got LGBTQ2+. You've got all nationalities. You've got just so many things. And like, our district is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, we had a Black woman as a superintendent. Yeah. Come on now.
Hey, for real.
And honestly, our equity and inclusion department really values that diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty proud to work there because they allow me to be exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I actually met the superintendent the other day. How about that? The new one.
Okay.
I was like, hi, you know, hi, sir, you know, but it was really cool. You know, just the fact that the superintendent is shaking my gay Black hand.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get it.
Yeah.
You know, and in our building with our Hispanic principal, it's great.
That's good.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, working for me as a substitute teacher, when I go into these rooms, these kids get excited to see me because it's usually not someone that looks like me that goes into that room. So, like, when they see me, they're already, like, hype, and just, like, that representation that they see from me and that representation they see from you, like, going into those rooms, like, it's already, like, a rapport builder and a good connection with these kids. And speaking of like representation, when's like the first time you've had representation shown to you? Like, you're coming out being, you said, 43. So when was the first time you seen a gay person? And then when was the first time that you seen a person of color that was a part of the community too?
Let's Navasota, Texas.
Yeah.
But really, I think when I started actually noticing, because honestly, growing up in Navasota, slim to none.
Right.
But like, I went to Clark Atlanta, Okay. And I met some really diverse individuals. And I'm like, okay, this is a thing. People do this. And then I went to Prairie View and ended up in the nightlife in Houston in Prairie View and just loved it.
Yeah.
So it was that just... That was probably so... Oh, my gosh. There was this one club, Big Yo's. I don't know if Big Yo's is still around, but that was my... I used to go to Big Yo's after work and just... I can't dance, right, at all.
Okay.
So I never danced, but like I would sit at a table and just soak in all of the variety and the rainbow and the just the different flavors of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that was probably, oh my gosh, what was that? Like 2004, 2003-ish? It's been a long time.
Okay.
I'm that old.
Nah. 40's prime. Prime.
Right.
In the prime. So how old do you think you were, though? Like, when you were seeing, like, that and...
I had to be about 23-ish.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah, so would you say, like, even, like, on TV or anything like that, do you, like, recall anything? It was just...
So, Napa Soda didn't get BET.
What?
Until I was in like...
What?
I think I was in something like... Had to have been like 5th, 6th grade, maybe. 6th or 7th grade. Like, it was the last channel that they added to the cable network, you know? So, I didn't grow up with a lot of people that looked like me.
Yeah.
And so, like, college, I went to Atlanta, culture shock, complete, total culture shock. Mm. I remember I used to go out to the malls on the outskirts to find white people.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, I couldn't take, like, I was not used to being around my own people.
Yeah.
I had to really get used to it. I had to really learn, like... Okay, listen, these are your people.
Yeah.
You didn't grow up with these people, but these are your people.
Uh-huh.
This is who, you know, you should have been socialized around. This is who you should have grown up around.
Yeah.
And outside of my family, I didn't really hang out with a lot of black people.
Yeah.
So, man.
Same.
Man, so I get to Atlanta and the whole school is black. All the teachers are black. The band is extra black. And I mean, my dorm was right in front of the football field. So the band. Oh, the band. So it was like, it was new. Everything was new. But I still had to, at some points, I still had to go out to Lenox where there weren't as many of us.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it's like, wow, okay. And, like, still now in Wichita, there's not a lot of us. And then the us that are here, I can't necessarily say that I want to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
Because the community is so messy. It can be so messy. And I don't have space in my life for the mess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have room for it. I have, like, I was telling my kids the other day, I was like, my house is a harmonious place. Of peace and tranquility, and you all are ruining my tranquility. And they just looked at me like, sorry, Mom. I was like, thank you. Light a candle.
Huh.
So, you know, it's just, it's a different space.
Yeah. That's interesting, like, how you felt like you had to go to the outskirts to just, like, find white people because you just like weren't used to that. What made you go to Atlanta? Were you just going to like search for the culture or what?
I really wanted the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really wanted the culture. And then like I graduated from high school in 1999. So in 1998 was the biggest Freaknik in Atlanta.
Oh my gosh.
Shame to admit that had like maybe a 30% suggestion in where I went to school.
Yeah.
And then I'll be darned. 1999, no Freaknik. They canceled it. I was so hurt.
Yeah, there's an episode, a series that just came out on about Freaknik, though. But I haven't watched it yet. I don't know what it's like, but I've just seen it on the Twitter.
So on the Twitter?
On the Twitters, hashtagging.
I've not seen anything on the Twitters. But I did hear that there was a series or video or something. And I also heard that some of the people in the videos were like doctors and things now. Doctors. And they were trying to block the production of this video. Dang. Of the series. Now, I never made it to Freaknik because, you know, my mama wasn't having that. But, you know, and by the time I got to Atlanta, they had other things happening. So it was okay.
Yeah. I heard, like, from, like, the previews and stuff of what it is, a lot of stuff happened during that. So yeah. your mom was right by not letting you go over there. Right. For sure.
Yeah.
So, like, the culture is what brought you there. But then, like, it was so much culture that you needed a little break every now and then.
Yes. Yes. What? And I think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I especially when you weren't like that's not what you've been raised around and stuff like that. So like the culture shock, I know for me personally, mine wasn't as big as going to like a HBCU and experiencing that in Atlanta. But when I went to Wichita State, it was the first time that there was like a lot of Black women in there, like, or just like people of color in general. But we had like the highest rating class of just like demographic wise when it came to that. And seeing that was when I was like, okay, like there's more out here. And some of the stuff that I was saying around them and stuff, like I'm embarrassed by it now. Just they checked me though. I needed it. Like being raised in a town full of white people, like the stuff that I had like embedded in me and like the biases I had and stuff like that, like it needed to be checked and there's more out there. So I appreciate all them girls that were in that program. Like in the moment I was embarrassed and hurt, but just like looking back on it now, like they're all really good. We're all really good friends and stuff like that still. So it was definitely my culture shock and checked me and made me like open up and be able to do this now. Like, but I'm still learning. Like, I have a lot to learn. And Juneteenth. I didn't know.
Juneteenth. Yeah. I love Juneteenth.
How old were you when you knew what Juneteenth was?
One.
1 year old.
Yeah. I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know what Juneteenth was until I was like 26. Yeah. Yeah. Like. It wasn't, my family didn't celebrate it. It wasn't, we didn't, like, Wichita obviously has something that.
Now.
So maybe.
They do now.
Okay.
That's been, like, within, like, maybe the last 3 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, so maybe that's why, like, my family didn't hear about it. So, like, we didn't come over here. Like, El Dorado is only 20 minutes away from here, but, like, none of that. Like, didn't hear, didn't even know about it. Didn't learn about it in school. Where I was. So I had to like make sure I told my little cousins, like when I found out about it, I like texted them like, this is what this is, like this is this holiday. You're not gonna learn about it where you are. Right. So
well, I take a in my building that I work in, our social studies teachers are on point.
Good, good.
So yeah.
That's really good. But just like the culture shock of it all. But you went to, you did it big.
I did. And you know, that's what I do. Yeah. Like if I'm going to do it, I'm going all in. I'm not going to just stick in a toe. No. The whole leg.
Yeah. And like, speaking of all, like for your degrees, you got a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in counseling, and a master's in special education, right?
Yep. So, and I now also am the proud holder of a certification in mental health counseling also.
Nice.
So I'm interning this summer and I'll be a whole LPC. And I think I'm going to go for an LAC as well.
All in. All in.
You know? That's not a toe.
Yeah.
No.
That's why you're trying to over here get make me become a counselor. You're like, hey.
Bring it
trying
on.
To get everybody.
Like, I love to see people of color in helping positions, like mm-hmm. in those helping professions, because we don't have a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, for me, like when I was seeking a therapist, you know, I have a therapist. Don't hate. You need a therapist too. But no, everybody should have a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was looking for a therapist, I wanted a therapist that was familiar, if not LGBTQ2+. I wanted them to be African-American. And I also wanted a female therapist.
I was just about to ask, you got all that criteria? Like, okay. No. What'd you settle with?
I have an old white male as a therapist. I should be.
The complete opposite
of everything that I wanted, but that's what I need. Apparently, I don't know how that worked out for me, but
why do you think that's what you need?
Because honestly, I surround myself with a lot of individuals who think like me.
Yeah,
you know, we politically think the same way. Morally, we're pretty much the same, and so it's a lot. It's like a silo.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be, you know, sometimes I need to hear from outside of my silo, because like, so just picture it. Therapist session. Talking to my way above middle-aged Caucasian therapist about some of the things in my life. It is hilarious. And then he's like, did you say, is that what you meant? I was like, yep, that was it. He's like, okay. So, I mean, but it's really good to have someone who doesn't think like me to hear me and validate the fact that you think a little different.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's outside of the norm for sure, but you're fine. And you have that right to think the way you do. It's great.
Yeah. I feel like you are a pretty open person, just like about your thoughts and whatnot. Just like earlier you were saying, like the community is just like messy. So
yeah,
it's like you don't want no part in that. What do you feel like is messy about the community here in Wichita? And like, what do you feel like could help mend it and fix it?
Okay. So I feel like there are too many chiefs in our community. Like, we can't all get together and do a project because, oh, you don't want to do this my way, or you don't want to do this way. You want to do it like this. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to hear you because we're going to do it my way.
Mm.
And it's a lot of, there are lots of followers. But they only follow one person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's very difficult to be involved in those types of situations where your opinion, you don't feel like your opinion is valued.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, Wichita has a lot of meetings. And in those meetings, nothing gets accomplished.
Mm.
It's just meetings on top of meetings with more meetings. And we're going to schedule another meeting. And it's like, okay, so I'm done meeting. So what do we do next? And it's a lot of meeting and not a lot of walking and working.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a worker. I let's go. Let's get it. Again, my whole leg. So let's get it. And it's like, I don't think people receive that well. They don't receive action well if it's outside of their parameters of what it is that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes for a lot of the organizations here.
Yeah, I can see that. Do you feel like the same people are in the lead too? Like the same faces get seen? Do you feel like it's pretty diverse here in Wichita? Like things that are people in the limelight, or do you feel like it's just the same?
I think that it's a lot of the same people. And then it's like, if those persons get tired, then nobody's doing anything. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, you know, they're the main chiefs who get followed until they burn out. And then nobody's doing anything.
Yeah.
So I think Wichita is very diverse, but it's not very jointed. Yeah. Like we have some of every culture here.
Yeah.
And those cultures pretty much stay to themselves. Like, neighborhoods are still segregated in Wichita.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, you can look at the schools. Mm-hmm. You know, you got mm-hmm. a black school, you got a white school, you got a school for the smart kids.
Mm-hmm. A Hispanic school.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very segregated still.
Yeah.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Where do you think that starts, though? Like, making action after the meeting, do you think that's where it starts? Do you feel like it's the... Do you feel like... Well, let me see what I'm trying to ask. Like, do you feel that it's a realistic goal that can be fixed? Or do you feel like this is just going to be the way Wichita is and it's going to stay this way?
In the 10 years that I've been here, this is the way that Wichita is. But I'm not hopeless. Mm-hmm. You know, I have faith that at some point there's going to be a cause that is going to join, you know, there'll be a cause that'll join everybody. Like when we did the George Floyd demonstration down at the police station on 21st. Mm-hmm. There were so many people there that some looked like me, some didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the community came out and the speakers came out from the community. There was like the NAACP. Then there were city council. There was the mayor. There was mm-hmm. the police chief. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So it's sad to say that it takes someone's death to bring communities together, but they did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, I feel like it's going to take us to have to rally around another cause in order to bring some of these different factions into this space.
Yeah. So let's like narrow this space down and just like look at the community of the LGBTQ+. Do you feel like within that community it's building and growing here in Wichita, or do you feel like it has a lot of work to do? And so
it too has a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. Because like the LGBTQ+ community that is African American, a lot of us are still like in closets. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't out at work, and a lot of people just aren't out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, how can we all get together and, you know, oh, don't tell anybody it's a gay function. It's a black function. It's not a gay function. No, it's all of that. Mm-hmm. If I'm having a function, it's pretty much a black gay function. Yeah. It's pretty much me.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, I think it's going to be a matter of changing perspective. Mm-hmm. And the younger kids now are all about out.
Yeah.
You know, they are who they are when they are who they are.
Yeah.
And so the fear that we had in my generation growing up, being able to say that we're lesbian, we're bi, we're what have you, there was a fear there. Mm-hmm. And so these kids have no fear. Mm-hmm. So I think as they get older and get into politics and, you know, jobs and workplaces and what have you, I think there'll definitely be some shifts.
Yeah. Speaking of just like the younger generation, what besides like coming out and being themselves, like what do you see has progressed now back when you were coming out and your generation to now, like what's like the most progress you've seen? And with progress, do you see us degressing as well?
Yeah. So with the progress would definitely be the fact that more of them know each other. and they're able to communicate with each other through social media. You know, that's something that...
True that.
I didn't... Cell phone? What is a cell phone? What is that? So, you know, the social media now allows kids to be more free and more open and be themselves. However, social media has also prevented these children from being able to communicate with each other. Like, they'll sit at lunch, sitting next to each other, and won't talk. There'll be no words passed, but they're having a full-fledged text message conversation.
Yeah.
Sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, they don't know how to communicate. During those formative years that they would have used to learn to communicate, there was COVID. They were isolated for 2 to 3 years. And that's really hard on your communication development.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, like, my third grader communicates like a grown person. Like, she is very communicative. But like my 14-year-old is not.
Mm.
Like, she can't express herself. But she can write you the best letter you've ever read in your life. Yeah. Or she can send you the best text message. But my 9-year-old will say to you, I'm overwhelmed and I need a minute.
Yeah.
So, you know, social media.
Yeah.
I blame it all on social media and COVID.
Yeah, both of those things, like you said, you made a good point with just like being able to reach other people. And you can search for that representation now. If you're like searching for it, if you're like wanting to find those connections, like it can come up on your For You page in a minute. Now that's not in person.
Right.
But like you said, just like searching for it, finding it, it is easier to do that with this younger generation. And I wanted to just like go back a minute on just like being a queer person of color while also being Black. And I know, how do you navigate each group? And I want to like say a quote that you said. You said, it's hard to do because I do well in the LGBTQ+ community as long as it's predominantly white. But in the Black community, it's not okay to be LGBTQ+ in Black. It's like I can go represent all the Black things, but can't represent any of the other things that are in my own life, in my community. How do you navigate that? Like, we've discussed how you're open and loud in these spaces, but how do you navigate that portion of it, of being in Black spaces that you're not familiar with being yourself?
I don't. No lie. Like, okay. Honestly, I do not. If I can't bring all of me into a space, I don't go.
Yeah.
Like, I only fake smile for pay. And so if I am in a space that I don't like and I have to fake smile to be there, I'm not going.
Yeah.
No.
I don't. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you feel like that happens in a lot of Black spaces here in Wichita specifically?
For sure. I used to go to church, believe it or not. I went to church, and it was just not for me. And it wasn't necessarily the teachings or anything, it was the people. Like, yes, I have children. Yes, I'm gay. Yes, I have a wife. And yes, we are all sitting right here on this pew. Look at us. It was so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It was the stares and the whispers and the behind the back type things.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to fake it. Like, you know, my mama said I had to go to church, you know, and no, I don't.
Yeah.
So I refuse. I just refuse to go into those spaces. Like, and if I'm going somewhere or hanging out with people, the first question I ask is who's going to be there? Who coming? You know?
Yeah.
They bring in such and such, I ain't coming.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, and I feel like I deserve that. I deserve to only have to go into spaces that allow me to fully be me.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you there. Like, I know you said, like, I feel like we all get to that point where it's like, we don't care. Like you mentioned earlier, yours was 39. Mine, I'm 32. Like, mine was 31. I'm just like at this point in my life where it's, you have to, like you said, do you accept all of me or none of me? Like, I don't want to put myself in certain spaces either. And it's, you mentioned church too. Like, did that affect your faith with God, or are you still?
Well, no, it didn't. Because, good. Like, there's a clear delineation between God and church people. Mm-hmm. They're not the same. Mm-hmm. And because I realize and I know that, I mean, nothing that a person can honestly do affects me in such a way that it shakes where my faith lies.
Good.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not the most Christian-y of the Christians, and I'm not the most witchy of the witches. So, you know, you just never know. I fall somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And I just feel like my, I guess my religious mantra is just don't be a crappy person.
Yeah.
You know, hey, just don't be a crappy person. And I feel like everything else falls into place.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like you're teaching your daughters these, like, teachings. Like, you say you have these open conversations with them. How do you guys navigate that of being a lesbian pair? Like, do they face certain situations? Like, have you had to have conversations with them about certain things that they've dealt with?
Let's see. Well, okay. Not necessarily, because my children are giants. My daughter is, my oldest is 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
My youngest is 5. Yeah. My youngest is 5'3" and she's 9. So they really don't have those issues necessarily. But I will say they're very confident young Black women.
Good.
And they carry themselves in such a way that nothing can shake them. I remember talking to my kid and she was telling me, she was like, well, got a boyfriend. I was like, well, good. So, and then she was like a week later, I was like, where's your boyfriend? She was like, girl, we broke up. I'm like, what happened? He was a church boy, mom. I said, what does that mean? He got a problem with gay people. No, you can't be with me. You got a problem with gay people. Good day. And I'm like, okay, how do you, you know, are you hurt? Do you need some chocolate milk? I mean, what can I do for you? And she was like, girl, I'm good. And hey, that's that.
Yeah, well, that's good that you're raising good daughters, like, and understanding, and won't even be with someone like that because of it. So that's good. I always wonder, like, if and when I bring a kid into this world, like, how that is going to affect them, not just being a lesbian parent, but just this world of just everything, the social media, the way AI is taking over politically right now, just like everything. So how I, like, already my kid, I feel like, is going to face that barrier because of me being a lesbian parent. And I didn't know, like, do you feel like your kids have any barriers right now, like, in their life for that, with, because of that?
Not really. And call me bougie if you will, but my youngest goes to a private school, and honestly, in their school, they don't have those problems because we're not the only lesbian parents there.
Okay.
We're not the only Black parents there. So her school really does a great job of fostering that type of everybody's different, everybody's the same, everybody's everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
That is nice. Yeah. That's, yeah. I always had those, like, did you ever think about that? But, like, before you had kids, I mean, your first one,
right,
you were,
right.
But did you have, like, that conversation with your partner, like, when you guys were trying, like, going through the process of?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. But we also knew that as parents, even if we weren't together, we also knew as parents that we would do whatever we could in the best interest of our kid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from that, we just felt like she was just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And we were going to raise her to be confident in herself first.
Yeah.
And then go out into the world and take that same confidence. And she's killing it.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you're doing a good job thus far. Yeah, so.
She is killing it. My girls are something. My oldest is graduating on May 5th.
Oh God.
From college. From college. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say if your kids came to you and told you they were part of the community?
So my oldest did tell me she was part of the community.
Okay.
And I just said, oh, okay. And she was like, questions? I was like, no. And okay. And we just lived our best life.
That's nice.
I mean, because like, I mean, this day and age, who's not a part of the community some kind of way or another?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I was glad that she felt comfortable enough to talk to me about it and not just go and have these weird and strange experiments.
Yeah. for sure. I've had conversations like in the past on people who like we have our own biases and what may be embedded into us. So like, yeah, we're a part of the community, but what if your kid came up and said it, like, would you be like, please don't do this just because of like the things that you've had to go through, or would you be accepting of it? And that's good that you're very accepting of it.
I'm accepting of all the children. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes the children, I have to go look up some of these things the children say to me, but you know, I am very accepting of all things. I just feel like people are people. And they deserve the privilege to develop into whatever it is that they want to develop into. Mm-hmm. And like, who am I to tell a kid that how they feel or who they feel whatever about is wrong? Mm-hmm. That's not my place. Mm-hmm. My place is to help them develop, help them grow, help them be strong and be able to stand in the diversity that they're going to face.
Yeah. And now, You're an advocate. You advocate. Like, what do you suggest to someone who's trying to be a good ally and wants to advocate for others, that for everybody? Like, what would you suggest?
Listening. Mm-hmm. Listening. Because, like, you want to be a great ally. So, okay, one of your LGBTQ2+ friends is getting bullied or something. So now you're making a big deal out of this bullying that this kid is trying to ignore. So in being a good ally, if your friend tells you, hey, let it go, do that. Let it go. If your friend tells you, you know, I don't have a seat at this table, can I get a seat? You know, bring your friend to the table with you. That's how you be a good ally. You're not allying if you yourself are in these spaces and you're boisterous or boisterous about whatever. That's not being a great ally. A great ally would say, you know what? Let's table this. Let me get somebody in here who can represent this, who can help you choose these, make these choices that are going to affect them. I think one of my favorite sayings ever is no decisions about us without us. Mm. I was on a meeting somewhere and I heard it and it stuck with me. So I'm going to use it. Friend, I don't remember who gave it to me, but I'm using it and I've used it for years. But I think that's how we make those changes.
Yeah.
We bring people to the table who wouldn't normally have a seat.
Yeah. I like that. Say it again so I can
no
clip
decisions
that.
About us. Without us.
No decisions about us without us.
Right.
I like that. I really do like that. And I feel like you've been you have to advocate for these kids. I know I'm working in the schools, like I've had guests come on here and say like their teachers haven't been like a good advocate in the district that they were. Like they told them about the situation, but it didn't really get resolved. So having people like you in the buildings, being that protector for those students and knowing they do have a facilitator or a teacher that they can come to and help them in situations to just be their authentic self, yeah. Just at least in your presence too.
Right.
You said, I want to just like bring this back with you and the LGBTQ plus community, because you said in the quote that if it's, you're okay around the LGBTQ plus community as long as they're predominantly white. Now, what about the LGBTQ community that is people of color? Do you feel like you have that in a lot of spaces here, or do you?
No, it's not. Now, I do have, you know, I do have like friends that I call my family.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my peoples, and I, around them, I'm great. But yeah. It's the strangers, you know,
yeah.
Because again, if you're not part of their crew, you know, you're just going to be sitting there looking like you're looking.
Yeah.
And I have no desires to do that.
Yeah. How do you, you're an organizer now, right? So have you ever thought about like organizing an event for the people of color that are a part of the community here for Wichita or what?
I've done it.
Yeah. You've actually done an event for people of color that are part of the community. And what was that like?
So I did a vendor event. It was like I don't even remember what it was called. I did a lot that particular summer, but basically I have a huge yard. So I invited vendors to come out for free, post up and sell their things. And you know, it was great. The vendors that came were amazing. I met some really cool people. I got this awesome skincare stuff from this lady. I have to find her card because it's fabulous, but anyway, but all of the vendors there were black, but all of the patrons that came and supported were pretty much white.
Do you feel like, because you invited all of us that were a part of the community, do you feel like there's not a lot of us out there, or is it just back to
what you think? Well, first of all, I don't live close to persons who look like me.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I did that on purpose, because I did not. It's just where my house is. And it could have been that it was just too far. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it was not. I mean, it was fun and it was great. And there was a lot of support, just not from us.
Hmm. So that was just like, after you seen that, you were like, yeah, we're not going to try this again, or?
I mean, I might try it again. I've had a lot going on the last couple summers, but like this summer I'm interning. So maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe next year.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that's something that needs to be done. Like everywhere, every town should have people of color of the LGBTQ community coming together and creating events for us, by us.
For like, sure.
To just like get out there, network, and mingle between us. Because like you said, you're most comfortable with LGBTQ community as long as they're predominantly white. But I find it like, as if they're a part of the community and they're black, just because they get both sides of what I go through on a day-to-day basis. So having those spaces more to go to, I feel like would be amazing.
Right.
Like,
and it would. It would. Like, I would love to see an LGBTQ2+ nightclub that is black.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a club with, like, a black night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's hip-hop night. I don't like hip-hop like that. Okay? I don't want to be that. You know, don't give me a night. Give me a club.
Yeah. He said, I don't like hip-hop night.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. DJ Cadence is my boy. He is awesome. Love him.
Yeah.
I love him. He's a great DJ.
He definitely is. He's on the 935 now.
Yeah.
He's doing the thing.
He's doing his thing.
But yeah, I feel like having those spaces. So maybe off the camera, I'm gonna get you. Maybe you can organize that sooner than next year. I feel like, and just like with Pride,
Like, oh my gosh, pride. There is no black pride in Wichita. It is so stressful. I tried to, like, at one point, I tried to create, like, a Facebook group with just, like, black lesbians from here. Not just necessarily lesbians, but, like, black LGBTQ2 plus community members.
No. Well, Pride's coming up. It's in June. So maybe it can be like a smaller event, like a brunch style, a brunch event with LGBTQ people of color, not just black, just people of color in general. That sounds like a good idea, does it not?
It does. So, I think you should organize it. I'll come.
I'm not the organizer here. I'm not the organizer, but I feel like, I don't know. Have you ever been on the Pride committee either? Like, no. No, and I don't know, Wichita Pride, it's pretty small, so maybe they can organize it. Maybe they can organize that.
How many black people are on the Pride board?
I don't know what the Pride board looks like, to be honest.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that all of the, I don't know, I think the lady last, nope, that was not Pride, that was Riverfest.
Okay.
The lady that was like the Riverfest person. I don't know what they call those. But she was black. But I don't know if...
I know what you're talking about. The lady that won like the...
Melody. I think her name is Melody.
The one that award or something like that for like...
Yeah.
The, yeah.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if since I've been going to Pride, if I've ever seen a black person honored at Pride.
Have you seen any person of color honored?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Gabe. Do you know Gabe? You know Gabe. PD facilitator Gabe. He was, I think he was like their grand marshal or something like that one year, maybe. And then Stephanie Byers is technically Native American. Technically. But other than that, that's all I got. And even in the Pride parades, there are very few African-American individuals in the parade. But a lot of the vendors with the food trucks and things at these events are African-American.
We got to do it for us, by us, but if it has to get done.
Right, but we can't get us together. It's like, come on, us, come on. And then, honestly, I feel like the us that would be organizing these things, I feel like we are doing everything already. Like I am hecka busy. You know, these kids, it's the kids. But, like, I don't make time. Not that I don't have time. I just don't make time to do those things.
Yeah. Well, my hope for Queen Talk is to, like, get people to start creating these things. Like, I don't mind being, like, a part of the planning or whatnot, what has to be done. But just, like, you've been here 10 years. The space is needed. The environment is needed. And representation matters. Like, we need to see that. So I think eventually Wichita is going to get there, you know. Well, it might take a lot of time, but I feel like we can slowly do it by doing small events and getting it bigger and bigger. So we'll see. Again, I'm going to talk to you off camera. We're going to see.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone sign up to be a foster parent. I want more people that look like me to be foster parents. It's important. There are lots of kids.
What are your final thoughts? What would you like to leave the audience with today?
Be you. Be unapologetically you. The world will adjust.
The world will adjust.
The world.
I like that. I really do like that. And to just be you. I feel like we hide ourselves in certain spaces and mold ourselves to be this person in certain spaces and only have very limited spaces to where we are ourselves, right. 100%. So, like you said, now you're at that space where unapologetically you...
All the time.
All the time, wherever you are. And hopefully everybody can get that way, like, sooner than later.
It feels good.
It really does. It
just feels amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... yeah, I'm sorry. I'm laughing about what happened earlier when you got...
right. There's always that one, though.
Right,
There's always that one.
That tries to test you. Just test you.
Every time.
But don't let it happen. But thank you, Precious, for coming and joining me today.
Anytime.
I will have you come back sometime. I want to create, like, multiple... I want to create different conversations throughout Queen Talk, like having multiple people come on and just discussing, like, with the older generation, younger generation, with your perspective versus our perspective, with things like in the community, like that we may have different barriers, just like certain topics and conversations to just get different perspectives on it. So I definitely will be asking you to come back and join me sometime.
For sure. And I would love it.
Yes, I like having you on here right now and your perspective and all that you do for the community. Like, you're, like I said, a little bit of everything. So getting your perspective and your experience on here is a good one for the podcast. So just thank you again for joining
anytime.
Me.
Anytime. Glad to be here. It was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Was it bad? Did you have fun?
Like, I did. I have fun.
Good.
I love it. It's amazing. Anytime you want me to come back, let me know.
All right. Good, good. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Please make sure to like, subscribe, comment. Let me know what you think of this episode. And don't get on me too much for not knowing what the Prairie View HBCU is. Please forgive me. Oh my gosh. I did not get my black card revoked today. Please.
Not today.
But yeah, you guys, make sure you guys are tuning in weekly. We're going to continue this, continue to have great guests on here, different perspectives, different experiences. So yes, stay tuned. Family, friends, strangers, love. Hey, be nice. Hey, that was great.